UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
You're locked on the V Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
Funny. I'm pretty good at my own filter at clickbait and something worth reading. Okay, but it does piss you off. I liked Friends. You don't like it, your business. Headline says, David Schwimmer suggests ideas for a Friends reboot. Ooh, wow. And you click it. And the article is about how he has no interest in a Friends reboot.
Yoink.
It's like, it's guaranteed. Not a guarantee. I mean, what the hell?
They is that got a Simpsons thing?
Yeah. The announcer says, they're watching TV. It's a guarantee. Not a guarantee. By the way, thank God. Just thank God Roger Federer does not play, you know, in a town with a city, community with a team. Because he saved 7 match points and won to go on to the semifinals. And they'd have been saying, 7 match points, he's no good. He's not that good. I told you he's not that good. I mean, if you can't go win in straight sets, you kind of suck. You're not that good. I mean, he's a 3-star at best. All these people who said he was a 4-star, I don't know what they're talking about. You realize he's winning one more major championships. Yeah, but that was back then. Plus, he's Swiss. I mean, what's that got to do? I'm just saying. I mean, what are you talking about? He had 7 match points against him. 1 point. He loses 1 point, he's out. Do you realize how close he was to being out? He's not that good. He's not that good a player. I'm just telling you. Lucky, lucky, lucky. Guy has 5 sets. I mean, it's crazy. Guy was seeded lower than he was. This guy should put away, forget about 3 sets. He should have beat him in 1 set. Should have beat him so bad the guy started crying and crawled back to his locker room and just abandoned the match. No, he's definitely, that's done. He's definitely lost his touch. I know it. That's no doubt about that. It's amazing seeing the people, by the way, respond to the Kobe thing that people don't even know. I don't know who the woman is. The woman at ESPN, I guess she is. She wanted to take a picture with him. She's a fan, but she's a reporter. And she approached him, and she was 8 months pregnant. Did you see that story? Oh, that's really touching.
I didn't.
I got to see if I can find that one. Yeah, I'm going to see if I can find that. We'll try and play that after we get these calls in and before we get to
Mark Deeks
from England. Covers the NBA for them, and it'd be interesting to see what kind of an impact Kobe's passing had over there. Although, did you see what the BBC did, right?
Oh no, I don't know.
They put a picture of LeBron James up and said with Kobe's name.
Oh no, no,
yeah.
Well, he works for Sky Sports,
the wrong
NBA.
Guy.
So
wrong guy. All right, who am I talking to here?
This is New York Mike.
New York Mike, back for another day. Michael, what's on your mind today?
Robert. Nicholas, I want to tell you, I have never done an over and under when I did a bet with you, right?
No, I don't think you have.
I have one for the Super Bowl. You mind if I give it to you and the listeners?
Sure, I'd like to hear it.
Okay, now yesterday I told you, take Kansas.
Right.
+1. No, minus one, right?
Yes.
And you got to take under 54, is that it?
Yeah, well, he said the same thing. Neil Greenberg just said take the under. He likes the under a lot.
Wait a minute, I forget about Neil Greenberg.
Oh, okay, excuse me. What does he know?
I'm your friend.
All right.
Are you my Goomba?
Sure I am, but you know.
Are you my Paisan?
I am.
You're not gonna, I really think you, that you are.
You're not going to ask me to kill.
You take the under 54. So what about the
he just said, he said, are you listening? I'm agreeing with you. The guy said take the under. I said, hey, you said take the under also. I agreed with you, and you still started fighting with me.
What's up with that?
Listen, you don't know what a fight is from the Bronx.
I don't think I want to fight
that. If I had a fight from the Bronx, I'd be standing right in front of you.
Oh, I realize that. I know. I don't.
But I love you. I love your kids.
No.
I love your wife. Jamie and Shelby.
Not interested in any fights. No. Absolutely.
No. Those days are over. But I'd like to tell you something. Can I tell you something?
Sure.
The police called me yesterday.
What about?
You believe it? I went to the VA because I got, broken ribs. I told you, right?
Correct.
So I went to the emergency room at, you mind if I tell you a story?
Go ahead. We're halfway into it, so go ahead.
I went to the emergency room at the deceased because the doctor at the VA said, I wanted them to make me an appointment just to walk into the x-ray and come out. He said, no, go to the emergency room. Last time I was in the emergency room at the VA, I was there 6 hours. So I went to the emergency room at deceased. I was there like in 5 minutes. So when I came out, they said, listen, I can't give you no pain medicine because you're getting your pain medicine from the VA. I said, I understand. Here's paperwork. Take it to him and ask him to increase it. You know what he did?
No.
He told me to take a walk.
That wasn't very nice.
You know what happened last night?
No.
The police from the VA called me and they said, listen, we got multiple complaints about you threatening people at the Newburgh. I said, what are you talking about? He said, listen, did you tell you were going to send about 5 or 10 guys from Brooklyn? I said, listen, stop it right there. I'm from the Bronx. I know you're lying. I said, what's your name? He told me his name, and he gave me his phone number. And you know what I did? I gave it to the Trump hotline because I hate these guys. They call me. I never heard of a cop in the Bronx calling me and telling me, listen, if you do that crime again, I'm going to arrest you. I never heard of that. This guy said, if you do a terroristic complaint in Newburgh, I'm going to arrest you.
Okay.
I said, you're crazy. I had to get that off my chest because I am mad. I still have crack. I couldn't even sleep on, I had to sleep on my back last night because of the broken rib.
That's a shame.
The VA wouldn't give me any more pain medicine because of the paperwork that the deceased gave me. I said, why not? I've been taking this one since 2002 November. That's a long time, ain't it, Bob?
It's almost 18 years coming up this year.
2002. I want to say this again. If you or any of your listeners could help me, I took 2002 pain medicine, and now he won't give me an extra one. He won't give me an extra one for my ribs. He said no.
I don't know.
So then the cops called me that night, and I am mad. I am mad. So I called Trump's hotline, and they're going to take care of it.
Okay. Well, anything
I
you say.
Trump.
All right. Well, that's your business. Did you really threaten the guy at all, in any way at all? Did you say something to him?
So well. No. Hey, listen. You know me. If I threaten somebody, I'm not going to back down.
No.
I don't care.
That's what I was surprised. Plus, the whole tip is he said Brooklyn. A guy from the Bronx would never say he's from Brooklyn.
I know Brooklyn. I said, do me a favor. I know you're lying because I'm from the Bronx. So he said, Brooklyn, Bronx, same thing. I said, no, it's not. And I hung up on him. And I reported him to his supervisor at the VA police. I said, why is your guy calling me at 5 o'clock at night when everything's closed and telling me he's going to arrest me if I say that again? I said, he didn't even ask me if I said it. He told me I said it. I didn't say it, Bob. If I said it, I would own up to it.
I think you would. All right. Well, feel better. Thanks for calling in. It's always good to talk to you.
Don't forget, the under.
The under.
Jesus and the under.
All right. Fair enough. Appreciate that. Neil Greenberg, who I'm not allowed to like evidently anymore, also said the under, but he likes San Francisco. So there you go. All right. Before we do anything else, I've got to get out of here. So, and not now, not leaving now, but I want to make sure I'm best asking my guests indulgence here because I have got to get some business done. And one of which is our friends from Universal Windows Direct. It is cold. It's cold outside. It's barely above freezing. I'm going to Boston where it's not going to be above freezing at all. So the weather, winter's here. Keep the cold out of your house. Keep the warmth in with new windows from Universal Windows Direct. You know, if you don't do it, you're going to be pumping heat. You're going to be paying utility bills to literally have the heat go right out the window. Why would you want to waste your money on that? If you feel some cool air coming in through your house, you need new windows. If your current windows aren't cutting it, they're leaking warm air, letting cool air in, you're going to pay more in energy bills. You need to do something. And the do something would mean calling our friends at Universal Windows Direct. Because not only do new windows look great, they're going to keep your home a lot warmer in the winter, cooler in the summer, and you'll have peace of mind because of the quality make of the windows and the quality installation of the work of the installers. Don't suffer through another drafty, cold winter home. Universal Windows Direct has windows that are specially made to perform in our climate. They have aerospace technology called Super Spacer. Keeps the edge of the glass warmer, holds the window seal longer, helps the windows last up to 5 times longer than other windows. So you get the best window for your home within your budget, and they perform better and last longer. It's a great selection of affordable, world-class windows, but you get even more than that. This is a lot more than a replacement window company. My guys, Bill and Mike, always back up their product with a true lifetime warranty, so you're covered for as long as you own your home and 30 years to the next homeowner. Now, that is a guarantee. And the professional, trustworthy installers I talked to you about will have a focus and passion for what they do. They'll do a great job. Right now, buy a window, get one free. Buy five, get one free. No limit. There are some restrictions apply, but you'll want to take advantage of this great offer and the great financing they have in place. Call 502-822-5764 or go to universalwindowsdirect.com. Like me, you'll be saying, I love my windows. And there was one of those coughing things we just alluded to. Whew! Sorry about that. It's that time of year. Hey, we've had this guy with us before. It's been a lot of fun to visit with him. He's from England, Sham Sports. .com is the website. He's also Sky Sports NBA. He's an author. He's done a whole bunch of things involving the NBA. And right now, I think it would be a good time to catch up with Mark Deeks, because Mark, obviously around here, you can't turn a corner without somebody having a thought about Kobe Bryant, and the tributes are moving and passionate. I know basketball isn't as big as all that in England, but he's a player that apparently his reach extended. We saw the soccer player, after he scored the goal, put the 2 down with one hand and the 4 down with the other as a tribute to him. So how much play is this getting in England, and what's the reaction?
You can't turn a corner here either, Bob, without the same thing right now, and that is so hard to explain how alien that is to an American audience. As you quite rightly say, basketball has never really taken off here. It is not a mainstream sport at all. It's probably equivalent in the hierarchy to where lacrosse is in America. That's not very high up. So the fact that Kobe is by any measure such a significant storyline over these past couple of days is a wonder. I don't rejoice in that respect. It's because of the deep, dark tragedy. But it is an accurate testament to Kobe's sheer international and cultural legacy and quite how transcendent he was. He's had the front covers of most of the newspapers. I was sitting on a train yesterday next to an old man who was looking at a double-page spread on pages 3, 4, and 5 of Kobe Bryant. This is unheard of in this country. He was the leading trend on Twitter in the United Kingdom yesterday.
Wow.
It was a big news day. There's the Australian fires. There's the plane crash in Afghanistan. There's the Turkish earthquake. There's big political stuff here that I won't bore you with. It's a big week for this country, and Kobe was number one. Because this is the internet era. Basketball exists in a place where it is, by any measure, cool. Basketball is cool, which means it is enmeshed with other cool cultures, with music, with film, with the internet. The internet culture of celebrity is enormous. Everybody from all cool walks of life was tweeting about Kobe Bryant, and that parlays down into the public realm. When I found out about Kobe Bryant, I had just that very minute sat down in the audience for a comedy show of all things. And it was a comedy show populated where I was one of the few people there under the age of 50. And they were talking about it as well.
Wow.
These aren't people that knew this man. They'd heard of him. No one ever called him Brian. They called him Kobe. They didn't need to call him Brian. They'd heard of a Kobe Bryant. They didn't know anything about him. But they still heard about this news. That was flabbergasting. And that is a testament to many things. Okay, yes, the NBA is a brand, the power of social media, but more importantly, to Kobe himself.
It's been a long time, Mark, but I coached in Europe and got to spend some time in England, and it was English basketball at that time, probably not even as big as it is now, but it was certainly a bit of an afterthought. But the thing that I was struck by was I talked to some friends who were diehard soccer, football fans, and they were – it's hard for us to relate. These guys are gigantic, and we don't really understand the game. It just seems like really tall guys jumping up and dunking the ball. And, you know, and so I was like, well, obviously you don't understand the game. I wasn't really mad at them, but it was like I didn't have much interest in it. But – Kobe, I don't know, the way he played could kind of transcend that. He wasn't a terrific athlete, of course, but it wasn't all theatrics in the air. He was a guy that did a lot of his damage on the perimeter, shooting the ball, and most people can relate to that. I'm wondering if that may have helped his popularity there, because that at least, like I said, as much as we all can admire Michael Jordan, there aren't many of us that can relate to jumping up and, you know, dunking the ball with our chin. You know, it's not something we did. This is a guy we couldn't really relate to it. Kobe did either, but at least we understood the concept that in playing in a recreational situation, we can go out there and shoot the ball. And I mean, he made shots going left, going right, and made threes, and just was a terrific shooter of the basketball. Is it the evolution of the sport, or was it the type of game he played that leads to his added popularity, or a combination of both, do you think?
I think in more than style of play, it's more about his character and the level of play. So it's a discussion for other people at another time as to quite where he ranked in the all-time status, but it is indisputable that if he wasn't the best, he nearly was. Now, he did that in his own way, which began, ironically, largely as an imitation of the great Jordan himself, and yet became inimitable in its own way. Mm-hmm. People want to replicate it, but you can't do the things Kobe does to the level that he does unless you are Kobe himself, because no one had that artistry of making incredibly difficult things looking incredibly easy, especially now, because his career went on for so long, 20 seasons, that while he was still playing, we've had a significant evolution of the NBA. It's become the mathematical game. It's become an understanding of expected shot value. All of this stuff is legitimate. I endorse it all. As a result, though, it has led to a more homogenous pool of players where people are all doing the same things. They're getting to the rim or shooting threes. They are right to do so, but it does mean that a man who didn't do that, and Kobe did lived in that mid-range more than anyone else, a man that didn't do that was a greater stark contrast. It made him more unique. But more than any of that, though, was his, I wish I knew the right word, I'm going to go for tenacity. The way that he was in defiance of everything, essentially. He was called uncoachable by one of the greatest coaches of all time, and it wasn't said flippantly. He meant that. Mike D'Antoni, when he was with the Lakers, could not get Kobe to sit down because Kobe was the power broker. It's arrogant, perhaps, but he was good enough to justify it. He was the shot caller. He took the shots he wanted. You couldn't take him out. The irony, and to critics, the great loss, is that when he played a more all-around game, he was really good at everything.
Yeah.
This guy was a tremendous passer and a great rebounder, but he wanted to be the sole crossing scorer. He wanted it. He worked harder than anybody else. He became it, and he will go down in history as one of the greats of all time, not just through his natural talents and his skills that were prodigious, but through his sheer committedness and unwillingness to back down. That we can relate to, because I can't jump over a sheet of paper, even if that sheet of paper is invisible. I have no natural athleticism. It's not going to happen. But what I can relate to is stubbornness. And I don't mean that flippantly. It was a virtue of it. Darius Morris, his former teammate, described it as the gift and the curse, in that he would do whatever it took to win. He would play with injuries that should, by any measure, have kept him out of the game. It was what made him great, and it's what also made him difficult. It's what made him prickly. It's what made him caustic. That, I think, we can relate to as people, not because we envy those traits, but because we don't like being told what to do, a good many of us in this world. That's why the political sphere is where it is, because people don't like being told what to do, and so they relish those who defy being told what to do. Kobe was one.
I think that's really well said. That amplified the little sliver I gave you, and absolutely, it all comes down to relatability, but it's a lot more than just, obviously, his style of play, with his personality. And, you know, it's also interesting, and this, you know, because I can relate to exactly what you said. I coached for a long time, and I always wanted our players to play with a tenacity, a ferociousness. But then when the game was over, you know, realized that, okay, well, no matter whether we won or lost, it's time to go out in the great big world and function. And I don't know that while he was playing he was that way, but I'll tell you what, you know this, Mark. Since he retired, he has let people see that quote-unquote soft side of him, and he's just as likable a human being as there could be, and he chatty and conversational, and so I always look at that and say, man, that's exactly what you were trying to teach your players. Go out there and rip your chest open, do anything you can within the rules to win the game, but then when it's over, you know, there's a great big world out there you got to function in, and you probably know this. I mean, he actually made more money as a successful businessman probably in the last 4 years than he did playing, so he went out into that world, and he succeeded, and I always thought that was something that, you know, you could aspire to, even if you couldn't relate to the millions of dollars he was making.
Absolutely. So he was demanding. He was difficult to work with, but only if you didn't work hard enough for him. But as a result, his actions did back up his words. He made errors, don't we all? But Kobe demanded that you work hard. He demanded that coaches be incredibly smart and considered and poised and prepared. But he was as well. And that carried itself over to his post-playing career. When so many trickle out and fade away, or their careers wind down very slowly, Kobe didn't have that. For a good many players, they don't officially retire. The phone just stops ringing.
Right.
Not Kobe. He went out on a 60 ball. He went out on a mark that's only been achieved about 60 times in NBA history. He went out with the greatest finale there was. Yes, okay, the result may have been meaningless, but the spectacle was spectacular. And when so many players, we know through the Broke documentary on ESPN, for example, or in many other places, when we know that so many athletes, and particularly NBA players, struggle with retirement because something that was once their whole life until this point, including their formative years, is now taken away from them, he was nailing it. He won an Oscar. He had business interests, as you said. He was a champion for many causes, especially women's causes, the WNBA. He had become a soothsayer, a storyteller, if you will, of some import. And that was going to be the next part of his legacy, about how he was one of the game's great players who also conducted business shrewdly off the court. And it is a shame that, as a storyteller, he will not now be able to tell the second half of his own story.
Yeah, well said. Mark Deeks with us. We got to make sure we get you on more often. You're a pleasure to visit with. I got to ask you about this. I looked at your Twitter profile. Took the middle offer on The Chase. You were on the game show The Chase? You were with the Beast?
Yeah, so as it happens, yeah. Okay, so I wasn't expecting to talk about this. So you have The Chase now, don't you? It's
yes.
A British import.
We
so
do.
We're not always just importing your TV shows anymore. You're now importing ours. Now, ours is a bit different in that the format is very same. But it is, well, I'm just going to say it, considerably better. The Beast is one of five chases in my country, so it's not him every time, he's one of five. But as it happens, I did come up against the Beast. We bonded over our mutual names. The scoring system is slightly different in this country, so I won't be able to relate quite how I did, other than to say that I took the middle offer and didn't win.
Oh.
Please don't think less of me, but the guy's very good, and it turns out that I don't know much about Charles Dickens. So, tough crowd.
Do they give you like a home version of the here? They used to give you a home version of the game. They give you something. You must get a nice prize pack or something. Don't you get anything?
I can tell you with complete sincerity, hand on heart, they gave me an envelope with £6 in to cover my petrol expenses.
Oh my God! You're kidding. Oh, you need to come play.
You need. It's a bit less bombastic than American, and we don't have the same kind of resources. But you know, it was a great day out. let's tactfully put it that way.
£6 for gas. The guy gave him £6.
Yeah, I mean, I live close to the studio. Fair enough.
Yes.
The man handed it to me and looked embarrassed. I'm so sorry. I mean, because other people were getting significant checks. They travelled across the country. He literally gave me a £5 note and a £1 coin. And a shy stare, and I thought, this is awkward, and then I immediately spent it on comfort food. Cracking day.
I just envision some corporate type who oversees that show sitting there and saying, all right, where does this Deeks guy live? Let me see. Well, he has 2 5-pound notes on his desk. That's too much. Let's take that back, and puts the pound coin in and says, that should cover it for the guy. I mean, good Lord. Unbelievable.
He didn't even give it in a new envelope. It was like a dirty, reused envelope. But I sound bitter. It was a great time. I'm glad they had me. It was a tremendous experience. And, of course, I could have won countless thousands of pounds. But it turns out that I didn't know the country of origin of various UN Secretary Generals. I guess I didn't prepare enough.
Wow, I don't think. Yeah. Did you know the beast at all before the show, did you?
No, you don't meet them. And we were the first show of the day. Not even the presenter, a guy called Bradley, knew who it was going to be. It was a genuine surprise when he came out.
Oh.
We didn't meet him before the show or after the show. All we saw was what you saw on the telly. It was filmed exactly as it appears, as quickly as that, with no stoppages. So, Whoa. Yeah.
It's,
I haven't met him since either, but I'd like to think we've bonded.
Oh, yes, I think you have a long-lasting... If you need him down the road, you give him a call. He'll be there for you, Mark. I'm sure of it. I'm sure.
Well, I've got a quiz in a pub on Thursday night. I might just ring him up and see what he says.
There you go. Maybe he'll come. Can you play teams? Can he join your team? That would freak everybody out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Walk into the pub with that guy and see how people react. That'd be pretty good. I think you have a good chance to win that one.
Stand the doorway first. But yeah, we'll try.
Hey, buddy, thanks for the time. I appreciate it. And hopefully we'll get a chance to visit with you again. You can follow Mark, by the way, at Mark Deeks NBA on Twitter. Mark Deeks NBA on Twitter. And hopefully you'll visit with us again. Mark, be well. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. That was fun.
I love him.
Guy says, get this guy on once a week. He's fantastic. It says for an EPL segment. I don't know if he knows anything about soccer. I don't know if he follows soccer. He's an NBA guy.
And a betting guy. He's a big betting guy. I just love how he went from New York Mike to Mark Deeks. It was the total polar opposite, I guess, of accents.
But
that was awesome.
But how great is it the show ends and the guy hands him 6 pounds, a 5 pound coin, a 5 pound note and a coin in an envelope, and it was a dirty envelope.
Oh, man, poor Mark.
I was like, surely they give you some promotional stuff.
Like the take-home version. That was always the consolation
nice home version of,
and like a bottle of like some cleaning product.
How could you imagine that, though? The host didn't even know who hopefully you've seen the show, The Chase. It's a pretty good show. And the Beast is the only guy who plays it here. But I guess as he just told you, there's five of them that rotate there.
Are they all gigantic?
I don't know who the other ones are. I think some of them were women. I don't think they're all men. But the host
question still stands.
The host didn't even know. He was trying to be the host of the show and not know who you're challenging, the guy that is trying to chase you.
You've got a bunch of banter questions kind of ready for, I don't know, Phyllis.
Yeah,
when she comes
out of the audience.
Like,
yeah, yeah. The colors of the American flag are red, white, and is there more than one color? So it's an interesting show. Is it still on, by the way?
I don't know. I just remember I remember having the version for iPad and always getting excited when I actually won, which wasn't often. It was like once in every like 15 times. It was a really pretty girl that was like the host of the American one. They had good banter back and forth. It was a good show. I hope it's still on.
Mark, I don't know if he pronounces it Labette or Labette, Labbett.
I think it's Labette. I thought it was.
He's a big man. He's 6'6". And he was one of the five of the group in England, but then they exported it to America, where it's not on anymore. They did 3 years, 13, 14, and 15. But it's on in Australia now, and he's still running it there. So he does the one in England, and he does the one in Australia.
Is the girl still with him? Or does he have a new co-host? Because they had good banter. Seriously, it was fun.
The girl here in the U.S., the Chase USA was hosted. Yeah, she was pretty. Her name was Brooke Burns.
That's right.
Yeah. There she is. She's good at standing there.
That's her.
No, I thought the girl was a blonde.
Yeah, so did I.
Well, it says that she was the host in this.
Well, maybe they had more than one host. Because, yeah, I remember a blonde. I thought she kind of looked like... the one lady from Modern Family, not Sophia Vergara, the mom who's in Happy Gilmore.
Julie Bowen.
There we go. Bowen. Yeah.
I don't. I think you're right. I think it's a different hostess. But it's irrelevant. It doesn't matter. Either of them are easy on their eyes.
I'm going to play a Chris Mack soundbite.
I'm leaving.
I'm going to play this Chris Mack soundbite. It's
still
only like
leaving.
30 seconds. Then I'm going to play the UofL fight song.
Okay.
Because it's a minute 15, and that's just enough time for you to give a UofL BC preview before you leave. What the hell? Did you lick the microphone? You licked the microphone. You cooped. You Coopered.
Cooper used to do that?
Cooper. Oh, we have great sound of him. Oh. He accidentally licked the microphone one time.
I had something stuck on my lip, and I went to push it off. And ugh, this disgusting, awful, degenerate thing. You know what's ugly? This microphone. You know what's not? The beautiful jewelry at Genesis Diamonds. And if you want to get a good deal, you can get one at Genesis Diamonds. They are absolutely the best to deal with. I love the fact that they stand behind what they sell. They protect you. For example, every ring comes with a free lifetime warranty. This is a significant investment for most people. You want to be protected. They protect you. Free repairs for life. Free cleaning for life. Free sizing for life. Even if she accidentally knocks out a side accent diamond, guess what? Genesis will replace it. No charge. And regular inspections are not required to keep this warranty intact. I've had some of those, too. It's fully warranted if you jump through 50 hoops every 6 weeks. Not this one. Doesn't matter. None of those things. There's no gotcha clause. It's just one example of how Genesis takes care of their customers. This is not some mega chain store. This is a family-owned company that was started by a major diamond supplier. They've got worldwide connections deep in the diamond industry that go back for decades. What that means for you is higher quality diamonds at lower prices. No middleman. Genesis goes straight to the diamond cutters. They buy in large quantities and they pay cash. That means you get the best deal, period. And the selection, absolutely terrific. I've said all of this before because all of it's true, but I can't emphasize enough kind of a theme of the first part of this message. It's the people you'll deal with there. They are extraordinary. I've gone, my holiday shopping is a good part of it, is always done there each year, and because they like working there, and the company appreciates them. And as customers, you appreciate that because they're not working on commission. They're there to help you. Great product, great service, great selection, great price, and the best people. That's just that simple when it comes to Genesis Diamonds. It's the official jeweler of the Louisville Cardinals and the Kentucky Wildcats, Shelbyville Road Plaza. All right. You all right.
So did you want a soundbite on Darius or a soundbite on Boston College? Because you only have a minute.
I do Darius only because, quite honestly, I've only seen very little of Boston College.
He hasn't let his practice habits be defined by his results in the game. I didn't mean lack of playing time.
Just march right in. Ask me a question. Don't wait for the answer.
Determine his outlook or his preparation.
Good ready.
Everybody's practice.
You join
it.
Let's take some calls.
That's been incredible. It's been awesome for our team. It's a 180 from a year ago. And, you know, good things generally happen to guys that really put in the time and keep having the right attitude. And that's exactly what I've seen with Darius. And so I'm really happy for him. And, you know, our team needs him to continue to be consistent and, you know, be a guy that we can count on whether he's playing the one or the two.
I can tell you this. I agree with him, the assessment of him being a good shooter. He's a better shooter than he even thinks he is. He's so cognizant, I think, of being the quote-unquote point guard that I noticed he passed up some shots early, and then he would take some shots he probably shouldn't have taken. If he would just get his feet set and then trust it and let it go, like the opening shot of the next to last game, the last game I didn't do, I was on the road with a different game, but the game before that, remember they played and Pitt came out in zone, and Louisville just good pass and swung it to the weak side. Darius caught it, had his feet set, let it fly, bottom of the well. That shot is the shot he should be trying to get. He's a terrific shooter that way, and those are the ones he should be looking for. And if he does that, it's going to be a great asset because, you know, Ryan's had some problems shooting, you know, here and there down the stretch and during the last few games. They're just getting into the stretch. So you don't want to rely on one guy anyway, and he is the best shooter. You know, he likes to say he's a better shooter than Ryan. Whatever. The fact is he's a good shooter, and he's just got to know which ones to take and be aggressive without being out of control, without being reckless. And if he can do that, I think he can really help them. So I was glad to see that big bust-out game, not only for him as a person because he's worked hard, but because I think it's a tremendous boon to the team to be reminded that he's capable of doing that. You're going to have to guard him because they were playing off him. Teams were just playing off him. Makes it very hard to throw the ball into Steven or to Malik. There's no driving lanes because one guy was always in the lane, the guy on him, off of him, sagging to the middle. You're not gonna, well, if he sees that now, he's got to get his feet set as the ball's being moved and as it comes to him, tee it high and let it fly because he's capable of making that shot. It's my birthday tomorrow. You guys do something nice for yourselves on my birthday. And then, God willing, we'll fly up to Boston and back and be with you on Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Well, you're going to hear from Darius in just a minute or so from the morning show on ESPNU. on the or the ACC network. Excuse me.
Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. So you'll hear that just a moment or two. Thanks very much for being with us.
Happy birthday, Dad. Love
thank
you.
You.
Be safe.
Love you too, and I'll see you on Thursday, everybody, on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the V-Show podcast. Listen to Bob Valvano weekdays noon to 3 only on ESPN 680 and online at ESPNLouisville.com.
Welcome back to ESPN 680, 105.7 in the V-Show. Bobby V's off to Boston. Safe travels, Pops. So we're going to round out the show with a little Darius Perry sound. He was on Packer and Durham on the ACC Network this morning. It sounded a little something like this. And just a reminder, The Take with Andy Sweeney and the Mouth of the Midwest. Easy, Zach McCrite, coming up at 3 p.m.
Darius, good morning, man. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm good. How y'all?
Okay, you fired up? You kind of subdued? What's the mood like in Louisville for this big week of basketball?
Of course, we're feeling really good right now, but for the most part, we're just trying to, you know, keep a level head and keep pushing forward, take game by game.
19-5-1 on Saturday against Clemson. That had to feel pretty good, huh?
Yeah, for sure. I just shot the ball well that day, and I got a lot of open shots. My teammates really found me, so it really did feel good to have 19 that day.
Team's playing well, winning a bunch of games, winning tight games, which is always important. How would you describe the demeanor of this basketball team right now at the halfway point?
I think it's really good. I think our confidence is high right now. We just need to take that, take that and just take advantage of it and keep going with it. Everybody's playing really good right now. We're doing really well on the defensive end, and we just need to keep that up and keep getting better.
Darius, what would be the one part of this team that needs to be better for the second half of the ACC run and then into postseason play? If you could critique your own club and say, hey, you know what, here's the one thing we've got to do better.
I think it's just with our consistency, honestly. I think we're a really good team on both ends of the floor. But I don't think we do it for a full 40 minutes, and I don't think we do it every single game. I think if we bring that energy we had against Clemson every night and just either keep that intensity or raise it higher, then I don't think there's really any team that can beat us as long as we're like that.
You know, Darius, it's interesting. When you guys got the road win at Duke, it was almost like everybody thought, oh, man, okay, so Louisville is going to be this team. Yet, in following your team a year ago and watching the transition to Coach Mack and now the influx of the younger guys with veterans like you, I mean, everybody should have seen this, right? This team's been coming for a while. I mean, have you recognized, though, the notoriety now? This is a different feel about you guys since either the Duke win or just this year period?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we knew it was going to be up and downs coming into it, but we put a lot of work in over the summer. We put a lot of work in during the season, and we already know what the end goal is. We already know what team we're striving to be and who we are. We're just not really worried about what everybody else has to say about us. Like you said, I think this was already a long time coming, regardless of what happened in the beginning of the season or what's even happened last game. We're just going to keep doing what we do and keep being better.
You got a great home court advantage when you play at home, but I've always thought that the really great teams love going on the road. You get a double dip this week. What's it like playing on the road in the ACC?
It's definitely hard. I mean, you go in another gym and those fans are crazy. They don't hold back. And, I mean, the other team is playing really hard. It's hard to play somebody at home. So, I mean, it's really good to go on the road, I think, though. I think we enjoy it, like you said. And we take every game the same, whether we're at home or whether we're away. We try to win. We try to bring the same energy.
You know, you're one of a couple guys in this league that has really expanded their game. I mean, everybody knew you were a really good defender. I think that was the book kind of a year ago. You were a threat from the perimeter. But your dribble drive game and the attack you put on the basket this year, especially in transition, is that something that you looked at? Was that an area you focused on in the offseason?
Not really. I think the area I focused on more was pace because I've always been really good in transition. I think since high school, I've just really been a transition player. I like playing in open court, but I don't think my pace was very good for college. I think I just moved at one speed mostly, and now that I kind of got the pace down, can change my speeds a little bit and find my teammates while also finding myself a basket is a big thing for me, and I think that's why you see a change.
All right, now wait a second. When you say pace, you had to slow it down to stay with everybody, or were you getting out in front so far that it was causing a problem?
I think it was more slow it down. I'll just be running, everybody be like, slow down, and I honestly don't ever think I'm running that fast, and when I look at it on film, I'm moving. So it was a big thing for me to slow down.
I'm always intrigued by practice and hearing players talk about practice. What's the best thing about a Chris Mack practice?
The attention to detail, for sure. He's really big on just details and really doing everything right, hard, and perfect. I mean, of course, everything's not going to be perfect, but the more you strive for it, the better you're going to be. So that's the biggest thing with Coach Mack. He's just really, really big on detail and paying attention and things like that. And I think that's why you see us getting better every day.
And give me for example of something that he's worked on your game based on a practice drill or something that he saw and he said, hey, listen, Darius, fill in the blank.
He's been really big with me on pace. I think he's a big reason why I worked on it so hard over the summer. And he would watch film with me all the time and just show me moments where I could have changed speeds. I could have found a teammate. I could have had a basket for myself if I just would have did this thing or that thing. So, I mean, I can't give you a specific moment in the game or a specific moment when we watch film, but it's just so much that he's done, you know, with each of us just to make sure that we become a better basketball players, and that's just one thing he did with me.
All right, one of the things we heard about Darius Perry in our scouting report was that you like to draw. How is that kind of like the calm things down when you want to unplug? You just hit the pad a little bit.
I've always drawn. My dad can draw, my mom can draw, and my older brother can too. So it kind of just came to me. But it's more like when I'm bored and I don't have anything to do, maybe I'm waiting on something to happen, like maybe waiting on to go eat with my godmother or go to the gym, and I'll just start drawing. I don't know why.
Now, we're down here in my basement. I got my two dogs, Chester and Fuller. Wes puts up with them, even though the big one, Fuller, is starting to become tight with Wes. But Wes has an orange tabby. He's a cat guy.
I got a cat.
And so I sense that you and Wes could probably bond given the cat situation.
Yeah. We would be cool. I like cats. I mean, I like both. I like dogs. I like cats. But I don't know. I think I'm more of a chill, laid-back person. And I find cats more chill, laid-back animals. So that's why I kind of...
That's what I keep telling him, Darius. That's what I keep telling him.
Look at these hounds right here.
The hounds. Look.
Speaking of chill, look at these two that I'm dealing with here.
Yeah, that's what you're seeing right now. 10 minutes ago, the black lab was all over the place. All right. Pac's got a question. We ask I think you're number 30 of student athletes we've had on this show, by the way, which is really good. And we talked to guys you play with, other players from other sports at Louisville, all over the ACC footprint. Pac asked this question. Go ahead, tell him. It's a real simple question, Darius.
It is, and you'll be able to handle this. I want to know the hardest class you've had at Louisville.
The hardest class I've had at Louisville. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't find school very hard. I don't. I've had a lot of classes, and I've never had a class where I just said, man, that was so hard. I think it's been all up to me. Like, the effort I put into the class is how hard it's going to be. So if I put a lot of effort into it, it's pretty easy. If I don't, then it's kind of hard. So
all right,
I couldn't give you one class.
Let me challenge you then, since you need to challenge academically at Louisville. I will tell you that 80% of the Louisville student athletes that appeared on this show have answered that question the same way, and they have mentioned Spanish. Have you had Spanish?
I have had Spanish, but I took it in high school.
Oh, then that doesn't count. No, but he did have it at Louisville.
But see, he did do Spanish in Cobb County, Georgia, which is hard.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I'll tell you all about that Cobb County Spanish. I got two graduates of Walton High School who did that Cobb County Spanish, and it's hard.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
So you two are going. Yes, the sir. Cat guys are
the
now
cat
bonding.
Guys are now bonding on how hard the Cobb County Spanish is.
All right, let me switch gears. We lost a great all-time player this past weekend. How did the Kobe Bryant news hit you and your team?
I mean, I know it hit everybody hard. You could see it on Coach Mack's face coming into practice, and just the way he talked to us. It hit everybody hard. And then for me personally, I mean, it hit me really hard. That was my favorite, all-time favorite player. I used to watch his videos and his every single game he played. I mean, there was nothing I didn't know about Kobe Bryant. I knew his whole name, his birthday, how old he was, any book they had on Kobe Bryant, I read it every time. I mean, I was his biggest fan, I think. And so, I mean, I think that hit really hard for me. And I was kind of out of it for a minute. And I think it's the same thing for a lot of my teammates. And definitely Coach Mack. I mean, I've never kind of seen him look like that or come into a practice like that. It was different. So it was devastating to hear about, for sure.
That's well said. That's well said. And I think you're right. I think it hits guys at a lot of levels and a lot of age demographics. I think the other thing, too, is you know, it's harder for guys because that's the player that most kids who play college basketball right now identify the game with, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there are big fans. There's a scale of how big a fan you are. Other guys may be fans of other players. But Kobe Bryant was a dominant player to today's college basketball players, right? I mean, he's a guy that you were attracted to at, what, 7, 8 years old, I'm guessing, right, Darius?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
you associate the game with Kobe Bryant, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, everything he ever did, I tried to do the same thing. I mean, there was nothing – anything I heard Kobe Bryant was doing, I heard he woke up at 6 a.m. to work out. I got up at 6 a.m. to work out. I mean, I heard about the way he approached the game. I tried to approach it the same way. The reason I play defense so hard is because I knew Kobe Bryant played both ends of the floor like that. So, I mean, I know for sure that's who I identify the game with, and that's who I've always looked up to my whole life. I mean, my dream was to see him walk past me. I didn't even want to say nothing to him. So,
yeah. Well, I tell you what, I appreciate you sharing that. That was cool.
It's good.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, future you gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.